you can't manipulate the truth. Well, you can. Well, we'll get to that. Because the news media has mastered it. Governments have mastered it. Historians have mastered it. Human beings know how to suppress the truth and how to revise the truth, which you never really can. You can't do either. Those who are children of truth, there's nothing you can do. It is how it is, and it makes a demand on you. You cannot make demands on it.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of Ephesians. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Now, here's Pastor Rick in Ephesians chapter 6 with today's edition of Cross Reference Radio.
Elisha, he mocked them, and maybe your God's sleeping. Maybe he's in the potty. That's what he was saying to them. I'm not making this up. And they're cutting themselves because that's what false religion does. It causes the host to harm themselves, ultimately. You know, everybody's important at death. If you die, you become very important. At least what's left becomes important to men, but what's not left suddenly becomes very important to God and you face to face. We are supposed to act like we believe this. We're playing a game. I got a letter the other day from some group talking, boasting about their ecumenicism. I am not ecumenical. I do not get along with those who claim Christ and reject what he has said. I'm not going to chummy up with you. No, you're not my enemy. I'm not going to try to run you off the road. I don't want to put any ideas in my own head. No, I mean, certainly that's not it. We just laugh because we know the flesh. We know what sin wants, and we know it's wrong. And that's where the humorous part comes in. Yeah, that ain't the right way, but I understand where the thought comes from. Do you see Paul doing any of this? Do you see Paul being very tolerant of Caesar worship or the idolatry? That he's gentle when he can be gentle, but there are times he's fierce. He struck Elymas with blindness. I know why God has not given me that ability. Let's see, do I hit Walmart first or the bank? Does it work on cameras? But anyway, the whole armor to stand, that is the goal. And for all this, I'm moving fast here. I'm not stopping at the verses, the cross references, because we wouldn't get out of here. But know this, Christian, that your scripture speaks, well, I'll take one, speaks in detail about these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That's very aggressive, and it's very spiritual. And there's no harm to the physical harm to the other person. If anything, there's rescue. John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 17. Jesus says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." You can't manipulate the truth. Well, you can. Well, we'll get to that because the news media has mastered it. Governments have mastered it. Historians have mastered it. Human beings know how to suppress the truth and how to revise the truth, which you never really can. You can't do either. Those who are children of truth, there's nothing you can do. It is how it is, and it makes a demand on you. You cannot make demands on it. But we'll come to that in a moment. Verse 14, he says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Well, we'll stop there. This girding your waist with truth. This is the belt. The belt that holds it all together is the truth. Yes, but here's another significant part of this belt. It is where the scabbard or the holster is to the sword. Now, the sword will be the only overtly offensive weapon in this mix. It's the only weapon. Weapon is offensive. Now, but you can use the shield as a weapon too, but it's not what's designed to do. But that's true, and as Christians now, the aggression of the church with her truths, the belt where we keep the sword on our hip, readily available, is got to be based on truth. Truth has no leaven in it. It's not the truth if it does. Half-truths are not truth. It's manipulation thereof. That's what Satan used to cause Adam and Eve to fall. Here's a picture of it in the Song of Solomon, this love song that Solomon has taken and to celebrate love in the godly kingdom. And the Jews embrace this as love to Israel. The church has identified that is the love song between Christ and his church. The church is made up of Jew and Gentile alike. There's no longer Jew or Gentile. They just become Christians. Paul will end this Ephesian letter encompassing all of them. He will say, shalom to the Jew, grace to the Gentile, agape to believers. But in Solomon, it is a picture of this love, and there's a snapshot in the third chapter, in the eighth verse, of the life during the time of this love song. But the Holy Spirit has underlined it to the reader who understands truth in the scripture, and it stands out and takes on a more vibrant, becomes more vibrant in our minds. Verse 8, he says, they hold swords, being expert in war, and every man has his sword on his thigh because of the fear in the night. They're ready for anything. Their sword is right there. It's sort of what Josephus, the historian, was writing about the Romans. It is what the Christian is supposed to be. The sword for us, of course, is the word of God. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. That's what the scripture teaches. That's the idea we're supposed to grab. We're never supposed to be without this. Whatever environment we find ourselves in, we are supposed to be saying, I am a holder of truth. I've got something that I want to share. I have a shot that I want to fire if I can just be given permission. How does that permission show up? You're in the workplace and someone comes up to you and says, what do you think about all this that's going on in the world? Well, what do you think about, you know, Israel and, you know, those Jews, they're always a problem. That's your opportunity. It's a problem to who? I had someone that told me once, you know, Jews, they go into every neighborhood and they ruin it. Well, how do they do that? They bomb it? They burn it down? Let's burn it down. No, they don't do this. They go into a neighborhood and they open up stores, and people like to shop at those stores because the deals are good. And they hate them for it. How does that happen? It's spiritual. It's the works of darkness. No other people suffer this. You get other people that come into the neighborhood that do burn their own stores down. And they don't get blamed like this. I just saw, one of the Muslim countries where they burned down their own KFC. Now, after they all settle down, they're going to get hungry. They're going to say, man, I sure missed those spicy wings were very nice. But they won't say, see, we ruin every neighborhood we go in. But the Jew somehow gets this. Because there's a real devil doing this. You see, so you're in the workplace, wait a minute, let's think this out, let's talk it out here. You're wrong. It's a lie, and you're buying into it. Because somebody said it, you just believe it. And you've not searched the matter out. The Jew is hated because of Satan, because of God's promises on Satan. And this is the truth that we are supposed to bring. It's supposed to be right there, ready to pull out. And he says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, the breastplate of righteousness is many Christians have no breastplate of righteousness. They're too busy doing things that aren't right for anyone to be attracted to the message that they're preaching. You can't go to the workplace and oogle the women or look to, or the men, if whatever the case may be, and still expect you've got this testimony. You can't steal from the employer, whether it's time or material, and still expect that God's going to bring to you this opportunity to share the gospel. The devil will then bring you an opportunity to share the gospel. Because by doing this, by someone who's not standing up for righteousness, he mocks, he makes a mockery, he makes a caricature of the truth. That's what every cult is, incidentally, a caricature of the truth. It is not true. It's a distortion. And the distortion is to be rejected. And we're not perfect beings, and no one expects us to be perfect beings, but what they do expect us to do is to pursue perfection with everything we've got. And when we do that, the church is glorious, she's beautiful, she's attractive, like a bride. When she comes down the aisle, she's prepared herself, she's beautiful, she's attractive. She's made preparation for this moment. We're supposed to be this all the time. And when we fail, we get back up, because the goal, the idea is to stand, therefore, and having done all to stand, stand. And when we're not righteous, truth has been compromised. It says, for the wrath of God in Romans 1 is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, this is for anyone who thinks that truth is sort of like, you know, take it or leave it, an option in Christianity. It is not. It is Christianity. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You cannot dispose of this. Without the truth, all the rest of the armor doesn't count. You've got a Goliath's armor. He says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They don't want what you have on your hip. Evolutionists don't want creation to be true, so they'll never look at it. It's not science at that point. It's all theory. And yet, they're very aggressive, very hostile. Oh, you believe creation? Oh, I don't have time for that. Why? Because you don't want it to be true. Because you do not want to be held accountable for your behavior. Instead of coming to the Savior and being saved, and repenting and becoming like a little child and being converted, you want to puff up, push against God. Years ago, I was working on a bridge. I wasn't a pastor at the time. And, you know, the pigeons do so much damage to steel structures. And trying to burn some steel out so we can put new steel in. But there's these pigeons, this one pigeon up in this corner, and he will not move. I mean, we're banging in, and so I take the torch. Now, I don't cook them. But it's the air, the air and the torch. Now, no flame, not the acetylene. And I'm blowing this thing, hoping he's going to say, okay, I've had enough of this. And he just puffs up, a little smart. I had a little hard hat on. And I could have fried him. All I had to do was just turn that gas on and click, and he, poof. But I wouldn't do that. So he just stayed the whole time. Now, I was going to work that into what I was going to say. Some puffing up. Okay, if you get it on the way home, call me. So I know what you meant to say now. It makes perfect sense. But right now I'm thinking about, well, I got like 4 minutes left and I've got to finish the rest of this. But anyway, the breastplate of righteousness. Be righteous. It is an expectation put on us. I'll take one verse for this, Psalm 106. Now again, if you're one of those Christians, well, I can't tell if that verse is true and that verse is true. Everything. Well, did you hear that? That was the sound of God's word going in one of your ears and coming out the other. Because you've fallen for this chaotic thought that God's word is not trustworthy. What happens if you have someone who's not trustworthy around something that is valuable? We have things like, you know, the fox guarding the chickens or whatever. Like, we understand this principle. Until it comes to scripture, then all reason goes away. Magic now takes its place, and whatever whim we come up with, that's the way it should be. You know what some Christians need? They need a good friend to come and rebuke them to their face very gently, but very thoroughly. And just to say, you know, if you want the same results, if you want to continue falling down in the face of opposition, just keep doing the same things. And I guarantee you'll get it. You plant corn, you'll get corn. You plant wheat, you get wheat. And we need friends. All of us do. We need someone who can reach us when we need to be reached, when we're drifting. Now, many of us, we work hard at not drifting, and the Holy Spirit does that for us. He corrects us without having to bring a friend. David had that chance, but he did not take it. And so God sent Nathan and outed David in front of everyone. But here in Psalm 106, verse 3, he says, blessed are those who who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. God wants to bless the one that honors righteousness and runs from evil. Verse 15, he says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparation belongs to the gospel. And there are those who, they don't want to prepare. They think that when they get saved, they're pretty smart anyway. God's benefiting from them. They figured it all out. They've read it. They know what it means. They have reading comprehension skills. So therefore, who needs the Spirit? Who needs to prepare? It's them. It's me, God. And that's not what the Bible teaches. We need to be prepared. And preparation always takes hard work. I remember working again as a steel worker. There were times you had to prepare things. It took more to build the thing. The time it took to make the false work and the preparations took more than an actual job. You learn about life that way. Christianity is often that way. You can spend hours studying a scripture section and share it in 5 minutes and the person's converted. Your feet, that's what you stand on. Without them, of course, you cannot stand. He's saying protect them with the gospel of peace, the good news. And this is what we bring. If we're going to go out into the world and make disciples, we better first go into ourselves, examine ourselves, build ourselves up spiritually, and go out and be used. Now, some think that this means that we are prepared with the knowledge of the gospel. We are strengthened. That comes in verse 17. So let's go look at verse 16. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Well, very quickly, actually the Greek here is ambiguous, where it says above all, it can actually mean over all. If you know anything about the Roman large shield, which is what is in mind here, even in the Greek, then you know this is a shield large enough for a man to hide behind completely. They would lock these shields with each other when they were in formation to defend against arrows, sort of create this like a bunker with them. And so it makes perfect sense. The translators have translated it in addition, above all. Above all, in addition, I think, are not the proper translation because of the context. And the context is given to us by the subject, which is the shield. And the shield, when it is above all, when it is above the body, you are shielded. And that's the idea. So he says, overall, that's the translation that I'm going to use. And I'm not the only one. There are others. And if I don't tell you that, you probably won't side with me. Well, anyway, taking the shield of faith. Overall, faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, the Bible tells us. And says to quench the fiery darts. That's right. Those are long-range missiles being shot at you. Snipers. Incoming of all sorts. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Listen, when you know you're saved, the head is the seat of intelligence. It is also where the identity is. When we know we're saved and we are secured with this blessed assurance, we are powerful. We say, fine, my life doesn't count because I know where I'm going. I don't care what you do to me. This is what Paul, I don't care that I'm chained. I'm saved. I have this blessed assurance. You belong to a Christian doctrine that teaches, well, we can't really be sure. Get away from that. That's not what the scripture teaches. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Every Christian should know this verse. First, in verse 19, he talks about the sway of the devil and the whole world being under its sway. But in verse 13, he says, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know. That's where the intelligence comes. I know I'm saved. And no one's taking this away from me. And I'm not going to back down. I'm going to stand. And I'm not only going to stand, I am going to move forward. If we don't move forward, you will be picked off. You know, the idea of an assault is to throw so much at you that you just can't stop. It's like trying to hold back water. That's the idea of assault. Well, Satan's always assaulting us. But Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. We're supposed to assault him, but we're too busy attacking each other. I didn't care for what the pastor said about Bugs Bunny. See, it's always some nonsense. Well, what does that have to do with those gates? Well, nothing. I just like to be in charge. Again, it's the guy who likes to show his wife he's the boss of spiritually in the home. Well, I'll tell you all the points the pastor was wrong on. Yeah, Satan's loving that. What is the Lord doing about those kind of things? You can't fight an enemy if you're beating up on yourselves. And you know what? I fear that the Christians who need to hear that won't hear that. One of the most struggling things about, if you say, would you be a pastor, knowing what you know now, called earlier, would you be a pastor still? Absolutely, but I do this differently. I wouldn't have such expectations. I would just try to keep it zero. Whatever God did, he did. Whatever he gave me to use, I used. Because when I have expectations, my feelings get involved. And when my feelings are betrayed, it's difficult to recover from. If you want to look at somebody, I don't like you. Because your feelings are telling you to do these things. But if you can stay away from that and stay focused on the Lord, you have sweeter strength. And he says in verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God, living in power, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul, the spirit, the joints, and the marrow. There's no creature hidden from it. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. The sword cuts deep. And so when a pastor goes verse by verse through the scripture, somebody's going to get cut. Now, they're either going to heal or they're going to want revenge. And usually they want revenge with their feet. They vote against you by walking away and not coming back. And Satan goes, woohoo, another one bites the dust. That's what he does. We'll finish at verse 18 through 24 very quickly, but I just want to do this one reference in 1 Samuel. You want to see what it looks like to swing the sword of God. An illustration of that is in 2 Samuel 23. There's two of them. The first one, in verse 10, 2 Samuel 23, talks about, he arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. That should be the Christian, stuck to the word of God. And then there's Shammah. It says, now everybody's retreating. He's not backing down. He's going to stand. This is his bean field, and nobody else can have it. And it says he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about great victory. That's what we're supposed to do. And you don't believe that Christianity. It's a bunch of myths and that, prove it. Don't back down to them because truth is on your side. Stand up to them. Forget about their credentials. Deal with the truth. Don't let them hide behind degrees. Deal with the truth. In verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Sword in one hand, trowel in the other. This is illustrated in Exodus 17, where we see Joshua physically fighting the Amalekites in the valley. But Moses with Aaron and a man named Hur, holding Moses' arms up, that is the Christian life. There's a physical side, there's a spiritual side. There's the battle with the word of God, the sword, and then there is praying, the spiritual side. They go together, they cannot be separated. In verse 19, he says, for me, and for me, pray, he's asking for prayer for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Not the myth of the gospel, the mystery of the gospel. Paul, the great apostle, who never backs down from sharing the truth, still dependent on God, asking God's people to pray for him, so that when he stands before Caesar, he doesn't back down, he lets him have it. I believe that the turning point in Caesar Nero was when he was given the gospel by Paul and he rejected it. That's when he flips out and becomes extremely wicked. And if you can trace this in history to the time of Paul, and poisons his own mentor and then goes off with this anti-Christian thing, that is a very significant part. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. And Tychicus, we'll find him, we'll read him about him again in Colossians, verse 23. And now he says to them, peace, which was the word of the Jews, shalom. And love, which is the word of the Christian, agape, with faith, and from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the word that was found in every Gentile's home of the Western world, he says, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio today. Cross Reference is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. If you'd like more information about this ministry or want to listen to additional teachings from Pastor Rick, please visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll never have to miss a program. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. We hope you'll tune in again next time to join us as we continue our study through the book of Ephesians with Pastor Rick. That's right here on Cross Reference Radio.